Hey, we're back. Second hour of the Outdoors and Radio Show. I'm Alan Ellis. We've got George Timko here. George is our deer biologist from Western Maryland, and Harry Spiker is here. This show is pre-recorded, and we'll invite you, if you'd like to call and enter the muzzleloader contest. We're giving away a great CVA muzzleloader this year, and they are great people to work with. Go to their website, cva.com, and check out the full line of products from CVA, or visit your local dealer. Bass Pro Shop is sponsoring the show for Sick of Deer Sunday this week, and we will say that Bass Pro Shop is the largest CVA dealer, not only in Maryland, but in the United States. Bass Pro Shop, Arundel Mills, is the largest CVA dealer in the country, just so you know. So CVA is a good bunch of folks, and I'm shooting their Acura mountain rifle this year. And we'll see how that works out. I'll let you know next week how we did for this muzzleloader season. So if you're into muzzleloaders and you're headed out there to do muzzleloader hunting today and next week is, of course, the antlerless muzzleloader season for whitetail and sick of deer, you can check out those fine line of CVAs online or at your local dealer. So, George, you shoot a deer, you walk up to it, and you look, and there on its belly or its side or over its eyeball or somewhere, there's some type of nasty-looking tumor growth, whatever that might be. What do you do?
Well, go online and find out what the heck it looks like. And, you know, actually, we have pretty good information on our website. But
what could it be?
Cutaneous fibroma would be my number one guess.
Cutaneous. That means just under the skin.
Under the skin.
Under the skin. Yeah. Okay.
So basically, you know, it's a virus spread by biting insects, those
okay.
noceums.
Okay. And same ones that spread EHD.
Same ones.
Okay.
Very likely.
And yeah.
it causes a black, ugly-looking growth on the animal.
Yeah.
In many cases, deer have them, and they're very small and usually not noticeable to most hunters.
Right.
Often around the soft tissues of the eyes and the mouth and nose.
Right.
Usually unnoticeable. But in situations where a deer is immunocompromised, sick, it's fighting some other problem, then those fibromas can grow and enlarge.
Okay.
In some cases, in extreme situations, it can obscure the vision of the animal, prevent it from feeding properly, and can lead to its demise. But that's such a small percentage of the deer that are out
mm-hmm.
there. As with any deer disease, you know, most deer are completely healthy, and that disease doesn't have an impact on the herd.
Okay.
On individual animals, possibly. And
sure.
If a hunter sees something like that, obviously, you know, contact us and we'll cue you in on what possible things it could be. But the majority of the times, it's a harmless cutaneous fibroma. Does it affect the meat? No. It's in the skin. If it's a secondary bacterial infection from the animal rubbing or breaking that skin, possibly the infection could get into the underlying meat. But
mm-hmm.
in most cases, it doesn't.
Right.
Can okay. people catch it? No.
No, can't catch it. Okay. Yeah, I mean, I've seen this rarely. I mean, the worst case, a scenario that was back in Pennsylvania. We were out riding around one day, and a deer came out of the woods in the middle of the day, and it was just covered up with these things. I mean, I said, "What's wrong with that deer?" And it was over the eye,
mm-hmm.
you know. And as the deer ran, you could see these tumors on its side, and they were just. Nasty, and we see that from time to time in Maryland.
Sure,
and I will tell you, most hunters, if they see that deer's not going home.
Very likely,
that deer's not going home.
Yeah, but again, it's something that you know it's
judgment.
It's a judgment call on the part of the hunter. You know, quite
right.
frankly, those can regress on a deer, so it could have them, and its immune system recovers, and those fibromas can regress to the point where they're almost not noticeable.
Really,
and we've seen deer that you know that
you've seen that early on and then later on in the
season,
same day.
They seem to regress.
Huh.
So just it's a situation that deer can have, and you know with the advent of trail cameras and more people, more accessible trail cameras, cheaper costs, and more hunters have them. Virtually every hunter has one. We get more reports of it. Is
sure.
it more on the landscape? Probably not. It's just that people are capturing them more in images on their cameras. They're seeing them more. You know, out there in the landscape.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's one. Now, EHD. We've talked about EHD in the past. Epizootic hemorrhagic disease from the bite of that same noceum or midge or mm-hmm. whatever you want to call it. Usually in a year where there's more of a drought than anything, where we have maybe a wet spring and then a dry summer. which we didn't have this year. Are you hearing anything on EHD this year anywhere?
This year, virtually none. Virtually none. A handful of cases in scattered areas. Mm-hmm. And it, like any disease, it's cyclical in nature. So, you know, we'll have some years that are worse than others. This year, virtually none. Mm-hmm. So as far as diseases go, very few reports of deer diseases this year.
I know we had it rampant in Frederick County a couple of years ago. Southern Maryland was hit pretty hard.
2007 was our big year.
Yeah, and then Upper Shore.
Right.
You know, so we've had natural deer mortality and reduction in the population because of that. I mean, is there any way to put any numbers on it?
Well, you know, in the most severe years, like 2007, where it was found really all across the nation.
Yes.
In some areas where they've never seen it before, further up in the New England states as well, they say mortality can go from 2% to 25% of a deer herd. In our biggest year of 2007, hunters were clamoring, we need to shut down our deer seasons because deer are dead and there won't be any left for the hunting season. We said, we'll just let it ride and see what happens. We had our highest harvest ever that year, mm-hmm. when theoretically we lost 25% of our herd. So, you know, diseases overall, it's not going to wipe out your deer population. It can have an impact, but it's not going to knock down your overall deer herd and necessitate, in this case, a change in management.
Right, exactly. Well, you know, we take about a third of our deer population during the hunting season, something like
roughly.
That.
Roughly.
You know, so if we take a third of our deer population and the deer has a capacity to double every year, deer herd has a capacity to double every year, and I like to say it very simply, one buck, one doe, plus two fawns equals four, and that's double. That would be, management through hunting is really the only viable way to manage a deer herd in excess in the size that we have here.
Without a doubt.
Or anywhere. I mean,
and that's our number one tool.
Number one tool.
And we don't hide that from anybody.
No, recreational hunting, and you can go out to a place where there's 200 deer, and you can sharpshoot 100 of them, and put the bait down and shoot 100 of them in the head over two nights, and you go out the next year, and there's 200 deer.
Still a lot of deer.
Pretty much. Same here. I mean, it depends on food, depends on habitat, depends on a lot of different things, and that's natural. All right, so EHD, the cutaneous fibroma. What else is out there that can affect our deer? And we're not telling you folks this to scare you. I mean, the major bulk of our deer population is sound and healthy, and I don't hesitate on eating them or anything. But what else is out there that's maybe of some concern?
Well, chronic wasting disease is of concern, and that the spread of that disease is increased measurably across the U.S. over the years, and in the region, we found it in starting out in West Virginia, then Virginia, then us, and then Pennsylvania. It's kind of spread, and it's kind of a regional situation now, if you will. But we've tested over 8,000 animals, and we found two positive.
Right. Right. And both from the same area.
Both from the same area. And it's really relegated to that portion of Allegheny County where we have imposed restrictions on hunters, really to prevent
the
spread.
In the CWD zone. Which you can find if you get a book, it comes with your license called The Guide to Hunting and Trapping in Maryland.
Right.
And it describes the whole thing in there.
Sure.
And the precautions that have to be taken if you hunt that area.
Exactly.
And it has to do with transporting the carcasses. It has to do with primarily brain and spinal tissue.
Exactly. Well, those highly infectious or potentially infectious parts of the deer, we've actually made available to hunters dumpsters to dispose of those parts. And we encourage them to field butcher their deer and leave those parts either in the field where they can, be scavenged.
Sure.
Or disposed of, naturally, or used to dispose of them in the dumpsters we provide.
Right.
That way, really, we just don't want that being any potentially infected animal being moved around and then spreading that disease to some other geographic location.
Exactly.
And if I may, the they've also got the option of taking to one of a couple approved
processors.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Thanks, Alan. A couple approved processors who have agreed to basically make sure that the waste is handled securely, safely.
Sure. And of all those deer, too.
Two.
CWD, two out of 8,000 that you've checked out of a typical 100 90 to 100,000 harvest in Maryland.
Right.
And the several deer that were found in Pennsylvania were either in or adjacent to a captive deer population.
Right.
And it could have been one of those captive deer that could have escaped and that type of thing. This is a disease that's endemic in the population, but it's so rare. It's like mad cow disease in cattle. It's like scrapie in sheep, and it's a CWD in the other cervids, basically. Mm-hmm. And it comes from, a lot of times, from trapped moose or elk or anything else that are kept in captive herds, and you know, can get into the wild population, like it did in West Virginia first, and then into Maryland. Now, in West Virginia, you know, we're thinking these deer came across the River Potomac. Was there any captive deer adjacent to that population that where there were seven or eight of those deer found with CWD in that one county in West Virginia?
In Maryland?
No, in West Virginia.
In West Virginia, there historically there were deer farms in that area, in the localized area. And to our knowledge, or for what we've been told, that those went out of business.
Mm-hmm.
And in many cases, going out of business could mean, you know,
goodbye deer.
Goodbye deer.
Yeah.
And Lord knows how they dispose of them, or if they just open the fence and let them out.
Yeah.
It's been proven that, you know, that disease spreads much more rapidly in the back of a pickup truck, i.e. a deer in a cage, versus an animal walking.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's one of the ways that some biologists point to how the disease has been spread around the landscape.
Right.
We're assuming.
So, in other words, you have a deer farm. You raise a big buck. You may not know he has this disease.
Right.
You sell that deer from West Virginia to Pennsylvania to a farmer in Pennsylvania. He breeds that deer. He sells that deer, that same deer, for breeding purposes to Ohio, and that guy raises deer off of that buck. I mean, this is common in the deer farming industry, so to speak. And, yeah. All right. Hang on, guys. Let me tell you about our friends at Chesapeake Outdoors. First choice for Eastern Shore hunters and anglers. Now, look, I know bow season, the rut's coming in. You might want to think about this. The new Matthews Creed is available if you're a crossbow hunter. Chesapeake Outdoors carries Mission and Barnett and Parker and Excalibur crossbows. If you're into waterfowl, well, they've got those fine firearms by Mossberg and Remington and others for waterfowl, and, of course, deer slug guns also, too, as well. Now, let's not forget, for waterfowl, Drake clothing, Under Armour clothing. And beginning in the 1st of November, in the waterfowl seasons, Chesapeake Outdoors will be picking ducks and geese. But let's not forget about their fine line of fishing tackle, live bait, and crabbing gear all year round. That's Chesapeake Outdoors, Route 50 East, exit 39B. That's Dominion Road on Kent Island, 410-604-2500, 604-2500. The friendly staff and knowledgeable staff both will help you find what you need at Chesapeake Outdoors. Now, Clyde Sports Shop. Another one of our great sponsors, 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne, just off Beltway Exit Number 9, our full-line Browning dealer. Right now, there's a rebate going on the bolt-action rifle in selected calibers. It's the A-Bolt 3 in 270, 30-06, 7mm mag, 300 Win mag. The A-Bolt 3 has a $100 rebate. That's right. That brings the price of that gun down to just under $400 at Clyde Sports Shop. That is a great buy on a great Browning bolt-action rifle. And don't forget, Clyde Sports Shop has your full line of Browning firearms, from shotguns to rifles to handguns, and a great gunsmithing service as well. They can clean your gun, they can mount your scope and bore sight it, get it ready for you to take to the range and sight in, and they're always close. Clyde Sports Shop, 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne, 410-242-6108. That's 410-242-6108. Website, ClydeSports.com. We'll be right back after this.
This is Alan Ellis for Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex of Glen Burnie, spray-on bedliners. Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex of Glen Burnie are proud to provide outstanding customer service, just like their number one rated Linex spray-on bedliners, with a nationwide lifetime warranty. A Linex spray-on bedliner completely seals out water, meaning no rust. It has a durable non-slip surface, is impervious to fuels and harsh chemicals, deer, blood, crab juice, and it protects against impact and abrasion from tree stands, tools, and all the other junk you carry in your truck bed. It's easy to clean at your local car wash, too. Protect your investment, your pickup truck, like I did with a Linex spray-on bedliner. liner from Catonsville Linex or Bay Linex of Glen Burnie. Catonsville Linex is located at 5617 Baltimore National Pike, inside Beltway Exit 15A. Call 410-455-0800. That's 410-455-0800. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie's new location is 201 Wholesome Way in Glen Burnie. 410-789-0199. That's 410-789-0199. The statewide Doe Harvest Challenge returns. By donating your female deer, you could feed the hungry and please local farmers by reducing crop damage. Now you could win a $500 gift card from Bass Pro Shops. Maryland is divided into three regions with 20 chances to win in each region, plus junior hunt days drawings. Just donate your doe through an FHFH deer processor listed in your hunting guide and fill out the entry card. That's it. You can enter every doe you donate during all deer seasons. The 2014 Doe Harvest Challenge is sponsored by the Maryland Grain Producers, the Soybean Board, Bass Pro Shops, the Farm Bureau, and Farmers and Hunters Feeding the Hungry. For more information, visit FHFH.org. If you're a working man and your truck breaks down, you only need to know one repair shop, W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg. They built your reputation on getting you in, fixed, and out the door quickly, efficiently, and a very competitive price. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles, large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Just look for that big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410, W&W Tire and Auto. Congratulations, Buck Bomb, on your 10th anniversary. Buck Bomb works all season long with its downwind full coverage particulate dispersal spray. It's the easiest and most effective deer scent delivery system. Choose Ambush, Doe Pea, or Vanilla Curiosity scent. And Buck Bomb is your choice for the rut. The traditional Doe and Estrus spray is still number one to attract bucks. The detonator is a canister with a wick that holds any Buck Bomb scent. Hang it on a nearby limb and bring the bucks close. When you're done, simply roll the wick into the canister for another day. The no-leak O-ring seal prevents any scent from escaping. Trigger the detonator with the igniter, a 4-ounce bottle of liquid Doe and Estrus scent. This potent combination is your best bet for the rut. Visit your local Buck Bomb retailer, order online at buckbomb.com, or call 1-866-850-6653. The Buck Bomb blows away traditional scent products. Hunt smart. Increase your odds with the Buck Bomb.
Now you can hear 3 hours of The Great One, Mark Levin, weeknights at 7 on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
And these guys actually drove all the way down here from Garrett and Allegheny Counties and, come down just to do this show for your entertainment and enjoyment here on the first day of the muzzleloader season. And we do want to mention that you're still allowed to call in and register to win the muzzleloader. Just call in, give your name and phone number to the producer. We won't, since we're pre-recorded, we won't make you go on the air today. That would be uncomfortable since the show's being recorded. We wouldn't want you talking over these two guys. What are you laughing about, John? John's our producer standing here in the studio this morning. So anyway, we were talking about deer diseases. We were talking about CWD. We talked about cutaneous tumors. There are and we talked about EHD. There are some other things out there, though. You mentioned acidosis earlier, where that somebody's feeding deer the wrong diet. There's a thing called brain
abscess.
Abscess. Mm-hmm. And there's also nasal bots.
Right.
Nasal bots.
We'll start out with the least attractive one first.
Let's do that.
The brain abscesses are more prevalent in white-tailed bucks than it are in does, but does can get them as well. And just think, these are wild animals. They're in a habitat that in many cases can poke, prod, and injure them.
Right.
Just either in their everyday behavior or when they're trying to flee from something that stirs them. And, particularly with white-tailed bucks during the fall of the year, the rutting behavior, they're rubbing their antlers more vigorously. They're sparring with other bucks. And then occasionally when they do get into a shoving match with a similar sized buck, they can get poked with an antler, and that introduces dirt and bacteria into the skin, and then abscess forms. Just as if we get an injury and pus occurs, you know, that same thing, but they don't have the benefit of first aid.
Mm.
So
No Band-Aids in the wild.
So
no Neosporin.
The animal obviously has to fight that infection, and in some white-tailed deer, you know, the infection can go under the skin and in between the sutures of the skull and then get into the brain of the animal, causing abnormal behavior where the animal oftentimes walks in circles or acts erratic or may act aggressive or even the opposite, passive. In those situations, you know, that ends up often being fatal to the deer. And if a hunter kills a deer that has a brain abscess, we would discourage them from eating it because it, at that point it's systemic, can get into the circulatory system and taint the meat.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, again,
well, this is more,
it's a wild animal.
Yeah, this is more public information that if you see a deer that's acting oddly, especially
right.
a buck this time of year, you know, sometimes their antlers are actually loose because that infection has separated the sutures in the brain, as you meant, you know, the little seams that run down the backs and mm-hmm. in the middle of the brain. That's one thing that can happen. So we've actually seen photos of deer with antlers hanging, you know, still alive, but of course malnourished and ready to perish at that point, which is pretty interesting. So, okay, again, all these things are pretty rare.
Pretty rare.
Pretty rare. But, you know, people see stuff in the woods and they say, wonder what that was. So this is why we're doing this, because that kind of stuff is pretty rare.
Sure thing. And, you know, when in doubt, contact us. You know,
sure.
We're more than happy to talk to hunters about it and explain to it. And once you talk to the hunter a little bit about it and inform them more, they become more comfortable with, you know, that particular
sure.
situation. And quite frankly, they're very appreciative of learning that information.
I think one of those instances, we had a listener actually call me, and I called George.
Right.
And you came down to Pikesville somewhere, found there was some unknown ailment with this deer that couldn't get up. It was a young buck, if I remember mm-hmm. right. And, you know, so those things happen. All right, my favorite. Let's talk about nasal bots.
Nasal bots. Well, it's a nose maggot, really, is what
it is. Jeez,
I knew you
George.
Liked that one. But it's larvae. It's a fly larvae that the flies actually deposit the eggs on the nose of the deer while it's, you know, basically while the deer is doing its thing. The larvae migrate into the nasal cavity where they evolve. They enlarge, and then eventually they get expelled by the deer, and then to restart that life cycle. So it's natural, it's normal, it's gross, but it happens. And occasionally, you know, hunters.
Bears are much safer, aren't they?
Oh, yeah.
You don't have to get that kind of stuff with bears.
Yeah.
Yeah. No self-respecting bear is going to let a maggot crawl up its nose.
Right. But this is an insect that's evolved with deer in mind, so to speak.
And, yeah. You know, it's a horsefly, basically.
It's. Yeah, horsefly larvae.
Yeah.
So it happens.
Sure it does.
It happens in a lot of deer. And hunters generally don't see that, but I bet you your processors that these hunters are taking them to see quite a few of them.
I'm sure.
And once the body cavity of the deer cools, you know, sometimes these larvae will expel and come out on their own.
God bless.
And sometimes when a guy's butchering a deer, one of these things will drop down out of the opening that has been created by dressing the deer into the body cavity or into some other place, and the hunter thinks, oh, my gosh, now my meat is contaminated by this alien worm, which the reality is, you know, it just came from a different area.
Just get the hose out and
yeah.
wash it out. Mm.
So there's lots more interesting facts that you guys should know about it. when you're eating your breakfast, this is
great. Yeah, I'm going to have an egg McMuffin here pretty soon. So I'll be good.
With mayonnaise.
With mayonnaise, that'd be good. All right, well, at least, look, you deal with this stuff every day. So, you know, it's he's smiling. That's a good thing. So, you're smiling, George. How'd that happen?
Yeah.
You're a deer manager.
It's early.
It apparently is early, yeah. You haven't got your first call today yet. So, all right. Well, we're kind of... Boy, the emails are coming in, aren't they, John? That's the third one I've heard this morning. So, yeah. Okay. Let's talk about some positive things here real quick. In overwhelming numbers, our venison is just, I mean, our deer meat is just absolutely spectacular. It's all natural. It's organic. It is healthy. Low cholesterol, high protein. Done properly. Great. I like eating venison. Done properly. It is some of the best natural meat you can get. No chemicals, no hormones, no nothing.
No doubt.
So you guys will spend a lot of time at the deer processors monitoring deer. What do you do when you're at the deer processors? What are you checking?
Well,
if somebody runs across DNR at their local deer processor, what are you doing?
We're collecting data on the deer herd.
Okay.
To better manage our deer population, we take biological data from the deer that are harvested by hunters.
Right.
The sex of the deer, the age of the deer, looking for any indications of unhealthy deer, which are very few, and really looking at, in some cases, the body weights, antler measurements. Biological data that we collect there goes towards
fat content, ticks,
all the above.
All the above.
Yep. And our staff take about, 5%, they sample about 5% of the overall harvest.
Mm-hmm.
So roughly 5,000 deer.
Right.
And that gives us a snapshot of the health of the overall population of deer.
Mm-hmm. Ever seen anything unusual at the deer processor?
Occasionally.
Yeah.
Occasionally. It's the things we've mentioned previously. There's some normal, quote, normal diseases that occur in deer that we do look for. But we're looking for hemorrhagic disease and the evidence of that.
Right.
If a deer survived it, obviously there's some sloughing of the hooves. There's some scarring of the soft tissues in the mouth and the palate.
Mm-hmm.
So we can look at that and then try to determine, was it there, was it not.
Gotcha. So you keep a pretty close eye on our deer herd here.
We do.
Yep. Of course. Yep. And that's always a good thing. All right. Harry, we're going to turn to you now for a little bit. We talked about coyotes, but we're going to talk about here. We got a couple of minutes in this segment, and then we'll talk about some fur bearers in the next segment. But let's talk about overall population of fur bearers here in Maryland. Now, up in your area, you've got some different things. You've got some fishers.
Right. Western Maryland, you're going to see fishers where you don't throughout most of the state.
What is a fisher? Big weasel, right?
A fisher is a big weasel. It's the largest terrestrial weasel that we have here. So, I mean, some of them, I mean, they can be up to 30 inches, nose to tip of tail.
That's a 10-pound critter.
A male can be, really big. They can be 12, 14 pounds.
Wow.
Okay. That's a big weasel.
Yeah.
And they're arboreal and by nature, so they spend a lot of time in the trees.
Mm-hmm. What do they eat?
They're very opportunistic, so they eat anything they can get a hold of, essentially. I mean, mm-hmm. small mammals, birds, you name it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there have been accounts of fishers taking fawns. We talked about,
really?
Coyotes, but even a 14-pound fisher, there have been, a few reports of that happening.
Wow.
I spent my first 6 years with the department. I actually was spent a good bit of time putting radio collars on ruffed grouse and following them around, and had a number of my radio collared grouse taken.
So you
by
really
fishers.
Didn't have a life the first 6 years.
that was a it was a it was
them?
A great life.
I put radio collars on rough grouse and follow them through the wood.
That's a great way to earn a buck.
Sorry about that.
That's
no,
all
but
right.
Go ahead. You, I interrupted you.
No, that's just
so the rough grouse became food for fishers. Basically.
Yeah, as well as a lot of other things. I mean, they're just
a
really
radio call around the neck of a grouse. What do you expect them to do? Fly?
Oh yeah, quite well.
Okay, all right. So you found radio collars?
Yeah,
that had been
taken by fishers. Yeah. Left at fisher dens and fisher tracks, around and so on. But, there are actually 14 species of fur bearers in Maryland.
Okay.
All of which can be trapped except for the bobcat. Bobcats have a closed season in Maryland.
Right.
We have a pretty decent population in western Maryland.
I've seen them in West Virginia right across the line, but I've not seen one in Maryland yet.
Yep, absolutely.
Yeah. Any hope of that ever opening up?
Well, it's going to take research. We need more information on our bobcat population. Mm-hmm. I would say, you know, it's certainly a possibility, but we need to get some good baseline data and research first.
Sure.
And that all takes money, money and time.
Something in short supply within the department, that's for sure.
Exactly.
So, all right. Well, we'll talk a little bit more about fur bears here in the next segment, and then we'll close it out. But it's time for me to tell the folks about Chesapeake Outdoors one more time. Right there on Ken Island, exit 39B, that's called Dominion Road. If you are looking for a place to just stop for, you know, rest a little bit, stop by Chesapeake Outdoors right there. As I said, 39B Dominion Road on Ken Island. It's the first choice for hunters and anglers. You can go in and browse and enjoy yourself. You can look at all the Drake waterfowl clothing, the Under Armour clothing. You've got all kinds of firearms there for waterfowl and upland game and deer slug guns and things like that. Fishing tackle, live bait, crabbing gear, the largest selection of waterfowl calls in the entire area, all major brands of waterfowl calls. And they're tuning up for the deer season and the waterfowl season now. They'll be picking both ducks and geese after the 1st of November when the season comes in there. And, of course, if you're a bow hunter and you want to hunt the rut, they've got those great Matthews Solo Cambos and the Mission Crossbows, Barnett Crossbows, Parker Brands, Carbon Express, and Excalibur. Once again, that's Chesapeake Outdoors. They are open every day on Route 50 East, 39B Dominion Road, right there on Ken Island, 410-604-2500. Clyde Sport Shop, 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne. What a great rebate on the Browning A-Bolt 3 rifle. That's the A-Bolt 3 in select calibers, 270, 30-06, 7mm mag, and 300 Win mag. $100 rebate on the A-Bolt 3s. What a great gun. I have an A-Bolt. I have an A-Bolt and 300 Win mag that I paid considerably more for than $399, and that's what that price is with that $100 rebate. Clyde's is your full-line dealer for Browning. They've got the great Maxxis shotguns, the autoloaders, the A-5. The Gold Light 10-gauge, and if you like a pump-action shotgun, the BPS pump comes in all gauges and from 410, 28, 20, 16, 12, and even 10-gauge models, and 12 and 20-gauge rifled deer barrel models. So Clyde Sports Shop is a place to go for firearms and great gunsmithing. They'll put the scope on for you. They'll bore sight it, get you ready for the season, then you take it out and fine-tune it at your range. At 410-242-6108. 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne, 410-242-6108 for Clyde's Sports Shop. We'll be right back after this.
Hunters, you could win a $500 gift card from Bass Pro Shops in the statewide Doe Harvest Challenge. You can enter every doe you donate during all deer seasons. Maryland is divided into three regions with 20 chances to win in each region plus junior hunt days drawings. Just donate your doe through an FHFH deer processor listed in your hunting guide and fill out the entry card. That's it. By donating your doe, you feed the hungry and please local farmers by reducing crop damage. The 2014 Doe Harvest Challenge is sponsored by the Maryland Grain Producers, the Soybean Board, Bass Pro Shops, the Farm Bureau, and Farmers and Hunters Feeding the Hungry. For more information, visit FHFH.org. Nothing is more frustrating than a dead battery. When your truck won't start or your boat or ATV leaves you stranded far from home, that's not good. The solution is Battery Warehouse. Not only does Battery Warehouse provide batteries for your car or truck, you can find marine batteries for cranking or trolling, ATV batteries, tractor batteries, motorcycle batteries, and batteries for all outdoors equipment. Did you know Battery Warehouse has batteries for wild game feeders, dog collars, cell phones, predator calls, and trail cameras? How about your video camera? Or if you tow your boat or trailer, your trailer brake control battery? Any battery you need. With 10 locations in Central Maryland, there's a Battery Warehouse convenient to you. Bel Air, Frederick, Cockeysville, Glen Burnie, Dundalk, Hagerstown, Westminster, Eldersburg, Parkville, and Woodlawn. Visit BatteryWarehouseMaryland.com online for the phone numbers and more information. When you need a hot flash, get to the Battery Warehouse near you. This is Alan Ellis for Bay Linex of Glen Burnie and Catonsville Linex Spray-On Bedliners. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie and Catonsville Linex are proud to provide outstanding customer service, just like their number one rated Linex Spray-On Bedliners with a nationwide lifetime warranty. A Linex Spray-On Bedliner completely seals out water, meaning no rust. It has a durable non-slip surface, is impervious to fuels and harsh chemicals, deer blood, crab juice, and it protects against impact and abrasion from tree stands and tools and all the other junk you carry in your truck bed. It It's easy to clean at your local car wash, too. Protect your investment, your pickup truck, like I did with a Linex spray-on bedliner from Bay Linex of Glen Burnie or Catonsville Linex. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie, new location, 201 Wholesome Way in Glen Burnie. 410-789-0199. That's 410-789-0199. And Catonsville Linex is located at 5617 Baltimore National Pike, inside Beltway Exit 15A. 410-455-0800. That's 410-455-0800.
W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg has taken care of my trucks for over 25 years. Anything from a simple oil change to extensive engine work, brakes, tune-ups, everything, their motto is, we do it. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles. Large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Look for the big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410, W&W Tire and Auto.
This is the Wall Street Journal Report. I'm Marcy Norton. Several Caribbean island nations are trying an unorthodox strategy to increase construction of new resorts and villas. They're selling citizenship. The Caribbean vacation home market has seen an uneven recovery from the downturn. Sales volumes and prices for existing homes are rising in larger markets and those with direct flights to the U.S. But new resort construction remains weak, especially in smaller nations ignored by most conventional lenders. St. Kitts, Grenada, Antigua, and other nations are offering to grant citizenship to qualified investors who agree to spend several hundred thousand dollars buying home lots or investing in hotel projects. The infusions help the islands get tourist destinations constructed, and the investors receive Caribbean passports. The programs are a draw for investors from countries such as China, who often need multiple forms of ID, such as visas, in addition to their home country passports, to travel to certain parts of the world. This is the Wall Street Journal Report.
Ready to create your own income with your own home-based business, where there's no such thing as getting laid off? If a billionaire entrepreneur spent 5 years and $20 million searching for the next big trend, wouldn't you want to know what he found? If you're serious about making money from home without having to leave home, then write this down. www.gohernext.com. You decide your income. Get the facts now. Gohernext.com.
Bye. How's your stomach feeling? Have you felt bloated or gassy? Have you suffered through acid reflux, constipation, or other embarrassing digestive problems? Suffering through stomach pain and discomfort is not normal. Toxic bugs are likely wreaking havoc in your intestines, leading to the issues you've been suffering through. Go to yourbellybugs.com to get a free report from the Nutrition Watchdog called 10 Foods You Can Eat to Cleanse Your Gut. It's free. Just go to yourbellybugs.com. Feel good and free of digestive problems. Get your free report now at yourbellybugs.com.
I looked down at my hands and was like, wow, I'm performing CPR on this guy. And then I actually finally met him. That was probably one of the coolest parts of my life, being able to talk to a guy after I gave him CPR.
Reed was just 17 when he heard a cry for help. Thanks to his Red Cross training, he didn't freeze, he didn't panic, he knew exactly what to do. Red Cross training saves lives. Sign up for a class today at redcross.org.
Don't miss Les Consulting's Uninhibited Radio, now on Sunday nights at 10 on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Okay, we're back with George Kimco, our deer biologist, and Harry Spiker, our bear and fur bear biologist. We're talking about trapping and mentioned the fishers up in western Maryland.
Right.
And you said there's 14
species? 14 species of fur bears in Maryland.
We just want to mention that the fur bears and the animal damage control agents are the ones that are first line of defense here in Maryland against rabies. And they work hard, and they do a good job.
Absolutely.
And we want to tell the folks that a foothold trap is a trap that they use so that the animal can be released if it is an undesirable species.
Absolutely. It's the same tool that we use to actually to bring river otters back to western Maryland.
Exactly.
It's the same trap tool.
Trap and transfer.
That's right.
Unharmed.
That's right.
So we want to make sure that maybe we'll get you back here for a trapping show later in the winter.
But
while we were on break, these two gentlemen got their heads together and thought that since I screwed up and didn't mention antler restrictions, since they're the deer biologist and the bear biologist, that we ought to talk about deer antler restrictions this year. So, George, tell us about deer antler restrictions.
Well, our antler restrictions are more of a QDM light type antler restriction.
Right.
And, you know, some states have spread measurements. Some have, you know, X number of points on a side before it could be legal for harvest.
Right.
Looking at the different programs that other states have instituted, we've come to the compromise of a point restriction, which was something that was easy for hunters to find.
They can,
you know, maybe not on a running deer, but on a deer, they can point, you know, say, okay, it has 3 points
on one side
and it's legal to take. And that's what hunters thought was the most popular method and easiest method for them to institute. Basically what it is out of your bag limit, the hunter must take at least one buck that has 3 antler points to a side. And that being said, the first they could take 2 deer out of their bag limit can be their choice.
So they're out there muzzleloader season and they haven't seen anything and the spike walks by, goodbye.
They can take it.
No problem.
They
That's their first buck.
Yep.
Okay. They get to the rut and a 4-point walks by. And they can take it.
They can take it. If they attempt to take a deer, a third deer.
Then, in firearm season, the one it's got to be 3 points to the side.
Right.
But
not specifically in firearm season, but their third buck would have to have.
But if they take that big buck in the rut, and let's say they kill a nice eight-point buck, okay, in the rut, which many people hunt the rut for the big bucks, then in firearm season, they've already taken their antler-restricted deer. Basically, and they can shoot that 4-point that comes by in firearm season. So it doesn't matter what order.
Right, doesn't matter.
You know, my first one this year is an 8-point, so I'm good. If I want to shoot a spike or a 4-point, I can do so.
Sure can.
I'm not gonna, but I could. But,
right.
You know, a lot of people don't. A lot of people do practice voluntary QDMA.
Exactly.
In Maryland, and some don't. And what about youth? What about youngsters?
They're exempt.
They're exempt.
100%. 100%. 100% exempt. So.
Right. And it's about choice, you know. And we want to give hunters the choice to take what they want. Most hunters don't take that third buck.
Right.
So, quite frankly, it's really to institute that thought that maybe there is something to letting deer get older and bucks get older.
Mm-hmm. Well, our harvest, especially in Region A where you guys are from, we're taking 70% of the yearling bucks.
Right.
What's
70% in the harvest are yearlings.
70% of the harvest are yearlings. 70% of the buck harvest are yearlings. So you're giving those deer a chance for maybe one more year,
right?
To grow that 6-point rack or that 8-point rack. And that's right now the 6-month-old bucks are button bucks.
Right.
Year and a half old bucks are maybe 4, maybe spike, maybe 8.
Right.
You know, there's no age and antler. Points has nothing to do with each other. It's all about genetics and it's all about nutrition. So, if you learn the body structure of a whitetail, you can kind of age them a little bit, you know. So then your 3-year-olds are getting into that point where now they survived 2 hunting seasons, they're 3.5 years old, they have that three points on a side, so to speak, and, you know, they've certainly possibly bred at least once, and now that's a quote quality deer light, as you say.
Right.
You know, it could be a tremendous buck. Usually the potential is 4.5 to 5.5 or maybe even older. The antlers don't stop increasing in size as the deer gets older until it reaches a certain age when it doesn't breed anymore, and then the antlers go downhill. But up until maybe 5.5, 6.5, the antlers continue to enlarge in girth. I mean, mass, I guess, is the word. Point length, point size, and that type of thing as the deer gets bigger, older, more mature. So, okay. I got you. So, what you're saying is one QDM deer, one antler restriction deer, 3 points on a side, and that's 1-inch points.
That
includes the brow tine. So, if you have a 1-inch brow tine and 2 up, you got a 6-point, that's your deer.
Sure.
Okay.
And it's on one side.
On one side.
Right. So if it's a half rack, has only 3 points on one side and nothing on the other, that's a QDM deer.
That's still legal.
That's your APR
deer,
right?
That's your APR deer. Okay. Antler point restriction, APR.
Right.
Gotcha. Gotcha. And again, any kid wants to shoot anything, he's welcome to shoot anything.
Right.
Buck or doe, doesn't matter. There's no restrictions on the kid. And you know what?
Absolutely.
That's a good thing. You know, you get junior hunters out there, you want them taking deer, and they like taking deer. They like the challenge. And if it's a buck, that's a bonus. And if it's a APR deer, that's a bigger bonus.
Sure.
You know, so.
And a hunter with limited time still has that option to take what he wants.
What he wants.
Right.
Yeah, you want to put a young deer, or young buck in the freezer, you can do that.
Sure thing.
Yep. So that's good. And you know, there are not a lot of people that take more than two or three deer a year.
Right.
There are not a lot of people that do that. I mean, there are people who hunt management hunts, and they'll take five, six. My best year was 10. It almost killed me, you know. I mean,
no doubt.
Yeah, and I'm like, why did I kill 10 deer this year? And what, quite frankly, wind up giving most of them away,
right?
You know, or donating to FHFH, which is another option we didn't talk about. And, of course, they're our sponsor, the Doe Harvest Challenge. And, you know, you can certainly donate your buck, which I did on my buck in the archery season to early archery season. I donated that to FHFH. So
it's a great program and helps out a lot more people.
It does. Yeah. It does. One deer, you know, you figure 50 pounds of venison and a quarter pound of burger apiece, that's 200 meals.
That's, you know, great.
That's 200 meals. So we complement that program as well. So, all right. Well, good. So our bear population is healthy.
Oh, absolutely.
And growing.
Yep, it is growing.
The complaints average about 500 a year.
Well, that was an uptick last year. I'd say we're averaging probably around 350 to 400 a year.
Complaints.
Yeah.
Human bear encounter.
Right, right.
Bears getting in the garbage, getting on the
bird
barbecue.
Bird feeders,
barbecue grills up on the
trash.
Porch. You're not having people that are gnawed by bears in Maryland yet.
Knocking on wood, no. But we do have about a half a dozen or so home entries a year.
Really?
Bears getting into houses. And, I mean, I'm as comfortable as anybody with bears, but I don't want one sitting at my kitchen table with me.
No, hardly.
And
you guys, you do, I've talked to your guy that does the trapping and that type of thing, the tagging and trapping and transferring and all that. And you do that in as many cases as you possibly can.
Oh,
but not every.
Yeah, yeah. We don't relocate bears. You know, we don't trap and transfer bears. Typically, we use a tool called aversive conditioning.
Yeah.
Basically, we try to put the fear of people in those bears in those cases. But most of our issues can be dealt with simply by talking to the landowners and basically teaching them how to clean camp, how to avoid attracting that bear there in the first place.
Clean your grill.
That's it.
Don't fill your bird feeder.
Yeah, don't feed the birds if you're in bear country.
Put your garbage in the landfill.
Yep, that's it.
Yep.
That's it. Lock the trash up so the bear can't get to it.
Our deer herd is healthy, thriving.
Healthy and thriving, definitely.
Thriving, overabundant in some areas, but you and I have had this conversation before. Have we reached our cultural carrying capacity in Maryland? Have we reached our carrying capacity in Maryland?
I would say we haven't reached the carrying capacity.
That means number of deer per square mile, basically.
Right.
But our cultural carrying capacity in suburbia.
Yes.
We're there.
In many situations, yes.
We're there. Well, that means deer, human conflicts, animal strikes, or, you know, auto strikes, Lyme disease, gardens getting eaten,
Deer surpass people's tolerance.
Surpass their tolerance. Yep. Good way to put it. Yeah. All right. In suburbia.
In suburbia.
And that's basically what we're dealing with. We did have a deer management stakeholder meeting on October 8th. The results are being bandied about right now. The comments are all being taken under consideration, and that report is due to the General Assembly as required December 31st, just before the session goes into effect for next year. So who knows what will happen in legislation. We've talked about several controversial deer management measures in the past, and I'm not going to bring you into that today. 966 in Southern Maryland, St. Mary's and Charles County, where the deer season was extended through the end of March, through January, February, March. To me, that is taking deer management out of the hands of the department. And you guys are not, you know, you don't have to comment on this at all. This is me being editorializing. 966 in Southern Maryland is a horrible aberration on deer management, in Allen's opinion. So you can take that one to the bank. All right. I just had to say that because you're here. You know. You notice they didn't comment on anything, right, John? No, they're not going to talk. No. I'm not even going to tell you which way they shook their head. Anyway, it's time for me to tell you folks one more time about Bass Pro Shop Sick of Deer Sunday. You can join professional hunter Bob Folkrod and friends on Sunday afternoon, October 19th, for Sick of Deer Sunday at Bass Pro Shops at Arundel Mills. That's Sick of Deer Sunday. Bob Folkrod has taken the largest, sickest stag ever filmed by a national television show, and you can see that exclusive video tomorrow. Sick of hunters and specialized Sick of Deer vendors will be on hand to celebrate our exclusive Little Elk, and someone or two will win a $50 Bass Pro Shop gift card, courtesy of the Outdoors and Radio Show on Sick of Deer Sunday, October 19th at Bass Pro Shops at Arundel Mills. And one more time, we got to tell you folks about Chesapeake Outdoors. That's right, Chesapeake Outdoors. They are located on the Eastern Shore, Kent Island, just off Route 50 East, exit 39B, Dominion Road. Anything and everything you need for hunting and fishing. Let's just say that. It's the first choice for Eastern Shore hunters and anglers. Archery, firearms, muzzle loaders, waterfowl calls, and all the accessories. Clothing and boots from Drake and Under Armour. Bubba Blade knives. You name it, they've got it for fishermen and hunters at Chesapeake Outdoors. Their friendly and professional staff will help you in your selection. Large selection of accessories for hunting and hunting supplies and everything you need for deer and waterfowl. 410-604-2500. That's 410-604-2500. 2500. Gentlemen, Harry Spiker, I want to thank you for being here today. First time on the Outdoors and Radio Show.
My pleasure. Enjoyed it. Thank you.
I'm glad you did. And George Timko, thanks for sharing all that gory stuff about deer diseases and everything else. But let's get out there and hunt them and get some good ones.
Great. Thank you.
Appreciate you being here today, guys. Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, get out, stay out, stay safe.
The statewide Doe Harvest Challenge returns. By donating your female deer, you could feed the hungry and please local farmers by reducing crop damage. Now you could win a $500 gift card from Bass Pro Shops. Maryland is divided into three regions with 20 chances to win in each region, plus junior hunt days drawings. Just donate your doe through an FHFH deer processor listed in your hunting guide and fill out the entry card.